بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تقول أم سليم رضي الله تعالى عنها وعنهم: يا أبا طلحة، ما أجد الذي كنت أجد انطلق. We are still reading this lengthy hadith of Umm Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha, who was a very, very brave woman and who served Islam very greatly in many, many aspects. The narration is brought by Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the son of Umm Sulaym. And we read that they had gone on a journey with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she had conceived, and now the pangs of the birth of the child, the pains she had experienced. Her husband Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu made dua to Allah ta'ala that now he has to look after her, and he cannot carry on with the journey, the return journey to Medina Sharif with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he also supplicated that, O Allah, you know that I always love to leave Medina Sharif with Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and return with him again. But now you see my present condition, my wife is in the process of childbirth, and it is my duty to be here with her and to support her and look after her. So I cannot join Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the barakat of his dua, Sulaym radiyallahu ta'ala anha then said, تقول أم سليم يا أبا طلحة ما أجد الذي كنت أجد انطلق. Abu Talha, that the pains I was feeling of childbirth, now that it is time for the delivery of the child, they have gone away. By the barakat of the duas of Abu Talha, she was not feeling those pains anymore. And as you wish to travel with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now by all means you can travel with him and you can return to Medina Sharif with him. فَانْطَلَقْنَا. Then I set off and we are joined Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be returning to Medina Sharif. وَضَرَبَهَا الْمَخَاضِ حِينَ قَدِمَا. And then again the pains of childbirth she felt again. That was when they were just approaching Medina Sharif. As they had reached Medina Sharif, those pains started again. فَوَلَدَتْ غُلَامًا. And then from this a boy was born. When this boy was born, فَقَالَتْ لِي أُمِّي. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the narrator of the hadith, says, my mother then said to me, Ya Anas, la yurdi'hu ahadun hatta taghdu bihi ala rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Anas, see that nobody breastfeeds this child, that nothing must go in his mouth until in the morning you take him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحَ احتملته فانطلقت به إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Then when the morning came, I took him, I carried him, and I went with him to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yeah, this is the end of this hadith where it is said وَذَكَرَ تَمَامَ الْحَدِيثِ, where the whole of the hadith was mentioned which we had completed, that when they went to Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, and as we had read that he took some khajur with him, and he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make tahniq for the child. Tahniq is that a righteous, pious person chews khajur, dates, and then puts a little bit of it on the palate of the child. This helps tremendously that for righteousness and piety to come into the child. And the khajur palm tree has been likened to a Muslim, the qualities of a Muslim. And the good omen is taken of this, that the sweetness of Iman will come into that child. Medically also it has been proven, the minute the sweetness goes in the mouth of the child starts sucking it. The child enjoys it, and this stimulates the jaws of the child, and it helps tremendously for the child. Like this, every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for our deen, it is 100% there. But even for our dunya, it helps tremendously. Also in the same process, we should always consider that when our children are born, that we should try and make this technique also, and that be the first thing that goes in the mouth of the child. We shouldn't shy away when they are in maternity homes of non-Muslims, etc. Unfortunately, our mothers have to go to the maternity homes of non-Muslims, but we should still maintain our Islamic identity, and we shouldn't be shy. They won't stop it, but we shouldn't be shy. We should see that with the child, then the technique is made. Another very important thing which we shouldn't be shy about, as soon as the child is born, as soon as it's possible, we should give adhan in the right ear and takbir in the left ear. This is a great da'wah. The Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the dua after adhan, taught us, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma. Oh Allah, the Lord of this dua, which is da'wat tamma. This da'wat is a complete and perfect da'wat. So let that be the first thing that goes in the ear of the child. So in the right ear, we should give this takbir, the adhan. And in the left ear, the takbir, the iqama. Ulama have written also that for the janazah person, namaz of a person, there is no adhan and there is no takbir. This has been already given when he was born. And this in there is a message that now your janazah namaz is ready already. We know after adhan, some time is given to prepare for wuzu, etc. for namaz. But after takbir, namaz starts. So this is a message given to the child also, that you have no time to waste in this dunya. Your janazah namaz is ready already. Prepare, you have to be, your janazah namaz is going to be made, so waste no time. And in this hadith, which we will try to explain inshallah, great points are taught to us. And the great lessons of at a few instances in this hadith of what is known as Amre Hal. That is, what is Allah's command that is directed to me at this moment? Must I do what I like to do? Must I do what society wants me to do? Or must I do what Allah wants me to do at this time? And many times our nafs will not like to do that which Allah wants us to do. And the society also will not like that what Allah wants us to do. But it is for us to see and consider at that time that what is Allah's command at this time. And I have to fulfill that commandment of Allah Ta'ala. Just one broad example, which is not related directly to the hadith, but to understand this, if a person is making namaz, and he sees in front of him a blind person is walking and is going to fall in the hole. Now his namaz is here, that is also Allah's command, and this blind person is going to fall in the hole. Now what is Amri Hal? What does Allah want from him at that time? At that time Allah wants him to break his namaz and go and help that person who is going to be falling in the hole. So like that in all our matters, whether it is our wedding functions, whether it is our Quran Sharif khatams, whatever, what is Allah's command at this time? What must I be doing? That is a very important question that we have to ask ourselves, and this hadith illustrates this very, very beautifully. So if Allah wishes, we will discuss that and see that we try and bring in our lives that at every point we think, what does Allah want from me at this time? Not what ibadat I want to do. Like for example, we are making our tilawat, we are making zikr, and jamaat namaz stands up now. And I say, I want to carry on with my zikr, I want to carry on with my Quran tilawat. That is not permitted at that time. At that time, we have to join the jamaat, and we have to join with the namaz. So in all matters we have to see what does Allah want from me at that time. May Allah give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.